Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another post-game episode with the Bastards of Boston Baseball. No surprise here on Crochet Day. The Boston Red Sox win a pivotal final game in the series. And I think I could say this for everybody, but are we shocked that we won the series? Because I am. Are we shocked that Trevor Story was probably the most impactful bat? I am. Are we shocked that Crochet won on Crochet Day? I'm not going to say I am, because he should be winning every single appearance, especially when you go a career high 112 pitches and you struck out a dozen. Dude, this guy is absolutely insane. What are your takeaways, Jeremy? We'll have you go first, and then Terry, we'll have you go second.
Yeah, the way they were playing baseball, even the way they were playing when they won game one of the Braves series, I did not see them winning the series. To me, it's not relevant yet that it's Crochet Day that we're going to win, because they don't win on Crochet Day. So the fact that they did today obviously took a monumental effort from Garrett Crochet. Story being the key, you know, bat for the series is shocking, because I think every single person wanted a DFA out of that player. I was more of a fake DL guy idea, but, you know, get him off the big league club for 10 days and let him reset. And yet he comes in and he's a key contributor. Campbell made some nice plays today. He almost botched what should have been a surefire double play, but instead of panicking, he gathers himself and makes a really key out at second base. Caught the ball when Crochet was on a jam in first and third. That was a flare to right field. Abreu was not going to get there. I thought it was a surefire hit, and Campbell makes an over-the-shoulder play that I didn't think he was going to make. So Devers with another rocket today in the first, kind of setting up that big wall ball double by Story. I don't know what to say about this team. Honestly, they beat what I think is going to be a good baseball team. They win the series. With all that said, it's great. I'm happy. It doesn't mean anything to me moving forward with this club until they can show consistency over like a 10-game period of time. So we'll certainly talk about the next series at the end, but spoiler alert, I don't think this series changes anything.
Yeah, one quick thing about Trevor Story, because he's been getting absolutely destroyed by the pod and by everybody. I don't know if, I mean, I didn't say DFA Story. I think I probably would have been the same realm scope of the, you know, fake DL him and have him reset, because I've said this multiple times. I don't know how you tear the cover off the ball for an entire month and forget how to hit the following month, or just struggle so badly that people want you gone. It just doesn't make any sense. Today was a great opportunity to see what Trevor Story can do when he like puts a perfect bat to the ball. He had a home run and five RBIs in the series. He's had a home run and five RBIs the whole month. So he doubled up his production for the month. I'm not saying that's great, but I'll say I think this is something to build towards because, you know, we're starting the month off with, technically this is a new month because of the 1st of June, but great way to start the month off. I'm hoping this is like the month of April for him. And you're right, the Red Sox haven't won on Crochet Day, and it's absolutely necessary that we do because in order for us to stay relevant, good Lord, you got to win Crochet Day automatically and then split the rest of the games. If you could take 3 of 5 out of your rotation, you're a playoff team. And we have yet to be able to consistently do that. Terry, I'm letting you go. Why don't you say something?
Nothing changed here. We sucked coming into the series. So did the Atlanta Braves. They lost 6 out of 8. You had 3 hits today, literally 3 hits. You had Devers ripping a double. I think, who was the other one? Abraham Toro singled. Marcelo Meyer drew a walk. And then Trevor Story cleared the bases with what was almost a grand slam. Missed it by 3 or 4 inches, I'd say. That was the entire day. That was it. Nothing else happened. You're not going to win a lot of games with just 3 runs on the board, and that's all they could put up. And then when you look at the series, is Walker Buehler's stock higher or lower? Lower.
Lower.
Christian Campbell's
stock, I don't know.
Offensively, is it higher or lower? It's definitely lower.
Lower and, for him, yeah.
And apparently, Abraham Toro's stock got so high, Campbell didn't go to first like they initially planned. Nothing real productive came out of this. You just had a really good start by Crochet, which we kind of expect. Maybe one good thing came out of this. Lucas Giolito pitched very well on Friday night. I will give him that. But nothing's changed here. This team is trash. You've got 3 games against Anaheim starting tomorrow. Their record doesn't look good on paper. They've been pretty hot lately. That series could go either way. And then you've got, I think, Yankees, Rays. And if we're upside down there, that's the season. This season will most likely be over by the end of June. And I didn't see anything this series that is re-pointing the trajectory upwards. I didn't see anything.
Okay, I gotta say a couple things. So first thing, Campbell, yeah, I agree. I think his stock has dropped a little bit. Toro's stock, I think, is still the same. I'm not buying the smoke screen here. And then Walker Buehler had a bit of a clunker, like no doubt, but he went against the guy who you thought was going to win the NL Cy Young. Schwalenbach struck out 11 guys in, what, 6 1/3 innings? Absolutely went off. And he started the day off with 92, 93, and then pulled 97, 98 out of the hat towards the end of the appearance. So I don't think 4 or 5 runs for Walker Buehler in one start, I think he's done that once or twice this year, is going to make his draft stock lower. Is your team better with Walker Buehler? Yes or no?
Theoretically, yes. But
the answer is yes, Terry.
He's been your a team disappointment. Is better with Walker He's still been
the
a disappointment.
Answer is yes, Terry. He is a better. He makes your team better, even though Lucas Giolito didn't even go 5 innings. Lucas Giolito, to your point, did pitch well, and Giolito did. You know, probably would have thrown another 10, 15 pitches and gotten out of the inning so that he could have had a chance to get the win. Our starters are not getting the chances to get the wins. The reason why I think this team is not quote trash, but not great, is because you have starters that can't go 5 innings. Forget about the quality start of 6 innings, which drives me nuts. You're a K-9 guy. You love strikeouts per 9 innings. I know that's your stat. Gets you all warm and fuzzy. Minus quality starts. If you can't give me quality starts, I can't give 2 craps. If you strike out 10 or you strike out 2, I don't care. If you can't throw 5 innings or 6 innings, you're not a good starter. I don't care. You strike out 10 in 4 2/3. Oh, he can strike out 10. Guess what? You burn the bullpen every single time you're here. That doesn't help us. Like, we need to start pitching to contact. Now, if you're Crochet and you can blow the doors off everybody and you're going to strike out a dozen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not, no one can. He's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, not just the American League. He exponentially makes the Red Sox a better team. The problem is you can't have Crochet pitch five times a day or five games in a row. This team, to your point, had one really big hit, which almost was a grand slam by inches. Outside of that, you're totally right. Like, there are games where you're going to be able to survive and you'll get the win based on the fact of, you know, you getting one hit because Crochet pitched. If anybody else pitched outside of Crochet, I can't say confidently that we would have won this game. But three-run lead or three runs for Crochet should be more than enough to get the win. He's like a one or two earned run pitcher guy. That's it. He's that good.
I mean, the offense did enough. I get Terry's point, and look, you'd like to score across four or five innings every game. That's not the way baseball is.
Right.
They did enough early, and they won the game. Crochet's been fantastic, and even though he didn't get a bunch of run support, they gave it to him early, which is a nice touch. And, you know, the truth is if you can get the three or four runs in a Crochet start, you give the bullpen a little bit of breathing room, and they win those games. Unfortunately, we don't score at all in typical Crochet starts, or he's leaving the game down 1-0, 2-1, or it's a tie game. And the early runs, at least in this Braves game, were enough. And it just goes to show you how good he really is. He didn't let off the gas pedal. He was great all day. Didn't fall behind a bunch of guys. You know, there weren't, except for the jam in the fourth, there wasn't a lot of threatening offense by the Braves. And I know it was only a 3-1 game, but it felt like we really had this one going into the late innings. The issue you're going to run into moving forward is right before the game, they DL'd Slayton. So that takes a key arm out of the 7th, 8th, 9th window. And that's going to put a tremendous amount of pressure on Weissert and Chapman, because Hendricks is down and he wasn't what I would consider a late innings arm anyways. And you're really, really thin out there. So it brings us back to, you know, the Crochet threw 112 pitches in this start versus the
career high, I believe. Yeah. Right. That was career high for him. 112.
I'm not sure on that, but it sounds about right. Cause I know the White Sox really didn't let him go over 100 pitches, but my point being is that when you pulled him in the Mets series with 85 pitches, we all kind of forecasted what was going on. And I was on a podcast earlier this week where we were talking about the Giolito start and how they didn't let him get through five, and the pressure was continuing to mount. And now we have Liam Hendricks down, and we have Slayton down. They're starting to drop like flies out there, and it's a really concerning problem if you're one of the Red Sox fans holding out hope that this team's going to go on a run, because when you couple the fact that Cora doesn't put pressure late in starts on the starting pitching versus the pressure he puts on the bullpen almost right away in the fifth or sixth inning, I said this on Friday, it's going to catch up to us, and it already is 2 days later.
Yeah. T, do you want to weigh in?
Yeah. Breslow. So we've had a flurry of moves. We can start with the bullpen. As you said, Slayton and Hendricks on the injured list. So now we've got Nick Birdie up, and we've got Luis Guerrero back up, who could not find the plate with a GPS last week. He was just all over the place, coughed up a game. And so the bullpen's not in good shape. I mean, who do you trust right now? You've got to roll this, obviously.
Bernardino, I think, is the arm that bumps down into the seventh slot. I know that's scary, but
it's so terrifying. I've said it so many times that
whenever who else would Bernardino's it be, Terry? Give me that look.
Nah, it was that Charlie. I was giving that look to.
Oh, okay.
Charlie hates. Charlie has this irrational hate for Brennan Bernardino.
I saw Brennan Bernardino twice blow leads. Once was a grand slam here in LA, bases loaded, Freddie Freeman tank, just absolute tank job. Just doesn't have it. And when Bernardino has thrown four of his first five pitches for balls, he should be throwing past the third batter. He doesn't have it. He's gonna walk the park.
One of the issues with one of the issues with Bernardino is he gets a lot of inherited runners.
Exactly.
Terry, you and I talked, I think actually last season on this, it was a topic, and I was in that recording. I remember it specifically. I was saying, can we give this guy a clean inning and give him a chance? Cause you come in first and second, one out, and he gives up a couple runs. You're looking at him, but you're not looking at the guy that put him in that spot, or simultaneously, you're not looking at Alex Cora for again, putting him in the position. And I remember the first half of last year, he was excellent against inherited runners. Excellent. But it's a numbers game. No one's excellent against inherited runners for a full season. You can't keep doing that to seemingly the same guy. And to me, giving a guy a clean inning creates an expectation from what he's walking into, his preparation in the bullpen, the time he's allowed to stretch and warm up and prepare for that one inning, knowing that one inning's his thing. And so they just, you know, and it's again, that happened earlier in the week where they try to stretch Whitlock, I believe, and he gets out there in the second inning and it falls apart. I just give these guys clean innings when you can.
Well, the good doctor had mentioned at one point the Red Sox had played, I forget how many games. Actually, let me see if I can pull it up because I'm curious. But he had pitched in like 27 or 28 games, and the Red Sox had only played in 58. Well, let's see. At the time, was it 58 and he played in 27? Something like that, I think was the stat.
26 appearances in 58 games.
That's insane. That's a lot. That means you're coming out almost every other day. And granted,
what choice do you have when the starting pitching doesn't get through the fifth inning?
Thank you.
You got to find four plus innings a night, and it's not tenable.
What do you think Brennan Bernardino's hits per nine is?
This year?
Yeah,
it's lower than it was last year. I know that much. He's right?
Yeah, what is it? Lower. Let me, I just for comparison, I want to get Slayton's up real quick. It's staggeringly low. Let's put it that way. All right. So Justin Slayton this season has his is low too. So
Bernardino comes in for a third of an inning. Slayton's not coming in for a third of an inning. Sometimes Bernardino, to your point, both of your points, Bernardino comes out, two are on, and there's two outs or one out. And he gets a double play ball, or he'll get, you know, the last out. That's probably 10 of his appearances this year, it feels like.
Yeah, but you still have to get up for the moment. The pitch count's part of it, and that's the metric we all use as baseball fans. But do you understand the stress on the athlete having to get his body ready to go? And it's not like those pitches aren't max effort. I mean, if you're pitching every day, I don't care if you're throwing six pitches, your body's still getting to the point of competing in a Major League Baseball game. There's wear and tear. It's not just pitches. Appearances matter, especially when they're stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
So
what are their hits per nine, Terry?
This is insane. I don't even know if I should be using this metric for the bullpen, I guess. Aroldis Chapman has a 5.9 hits per nine. Bernardino has a 0.4 hits per nine, and he has a whip of 0.88. That's why
he allows less than one hit per inning. So how many hits has he allowed? 15?
13 on the season. And So that's why he's coming in with inherited runners. Like he has to be that guy.
No, I don't. But why not then give that same guy a clean inning?
Well, you're at the point where you probably have to. I mean, Whitlock is okay for one inning. His first inning is generally always very good. The second inning, he doesn't know up from down. So, you know, I think there's a lot of misuse there. I don't know much about Nick Birdie. I don't think he looked great yesterday. And then Guerrero's up and down. Guerrero's going to tease you, much like, remember, Darwin's and Hernandez would be like amazing, like every four start. And then you'd be like, oh, maybe he's figured it out. And then he'd walk the world. And that's what Guerrero does. So
if you have a reliever that comes out five appearances, no problem. And then the sixth appearance gets absolutely rocked. And then five appearances go by, we're good. The next, you know, the very sixth appearance after that, rocked again. Is that acceptable? One every six appearances, you get your clock cleaned. That's Brandon Bernardino. That's Bernardino. Bernardino, when he comes out, he's going to get absolutely shelled every five or six appearances. Like, that's pretty much what it felt like. Last year, go through the numbers. Go through the numbers of Brandon Bernardino. And here's the thing. If Bernardino is given a clean inning, who do you trust to come in to, you know, handle damage when there's people on base? Chapman?
Well, if you're doing your job, you shouldn't be having that many.
Right. If you're doing your job, but hypothetically, they're not doing their job because that is the 2025 Boston Red Sox. We're not doing
our
job.
You can't manage the bullpen expecting Weiser to blow it up. If you don't think Weiser's going to be effective tonight, you shouldn't pitch him at all. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but you can't manage like, all right, well, we're gonna go Guerrero in the sixth instead of Bernardino because Weissert has the seventh and I'm expecting him to have the base loaded and we're gonna go to Bernardino. Fair. That's not how you manage games. So my only point there is Bernardino can give you more quality outs, and it starts with allowing the starter, when appropriate, to finish their last inning. Like, for example, and I know this is a misnomer because he's so good, but Crochet in the seventh tonight, he's at his pitch. I mean, no one thought he was going to throw 112 tonight, and yet he's out there starting a batter with 108, 109 pitches, but yet he finishes the inning, giving the bullpen a reset in the eighth, and it just makes it managing it easier. If you don't think your starter can get through the sixth inning, don't have him start the inning.
Right.
Don't have a guy you think is gas saying, all right, go try to get this one last guy to start the sixth. And when it inevitably fails, now we're man on second, no outs, and you have to bring Bernardino or whoever in. I don't know. I mean, and look, this is probably setting Terry up with the way Cora's managed the bullpen all year, but it's been a problem. And
it has been.
The only time it really hasn't been is the Crochet starts, because you get consistency from him through the full extent of his outing.
Crochet also struck out the side in the seventh inning, which was insane. He got strikeouts 10, 11, and 12 in that inning.
It looked like he was as strong as he was all day in that inning.
It was like the first inning, it felt like. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So I want to get to a Breslow quote from yesterday.
This should be fun. I know exactly what you're going to say. Hit us.
This is his answer on Roman Anthony. There, everybody's wondering, why isn't he coming up? And yesterday, to set this up further, we're getting some guy named Nick Eaton, who is a scrap heap guy in the outfield. And so they're doing everything but bringing up Roman Anthony. And, you know, it's cute that Toro had a nice series, strung together a bunch of hits, did a little bit of damage. That's the worst thing that could have happened, because now Craig Breslow feels validated by that move. And that's why the plans got scrapped to move Campbell at first. And I'm not saying he even needs to play first anymore, but anyway, here's the quote. This is why Anthony isn't up yet, according to Breslow. Quote, "We need to be more mindful of the environment that Roman would be coming into and the pressure we'd be putting on a 21-year-old in the midst of a losing streak to come up and save the team. Roman's time is coming, and I don't think there's any question about that. So we have to figure out what is best for the organization and what's best for him." He's probably your third or fourth best bat in the lineup the second he gets called up. And you're just going to throw the season away by not having him up. It's maddening. And then the manager isn't doing a good job. And by the way, I didn't get to that quote, but the manager's job is safe. According to Breslow, not that I didn't expect it would be, but it's just, this is a failure of leadership at every level. And it's just staring us in the face every series. And we're just drowning right now.
So I believe Sam Kennedy told Breslow what to say. Because here's when you look at the statement on paper and don't apply the facts of the 25 Red Sox, you would say something like, that makes sense. You're putting the athlete first. You're putting the long-term health of the player by performance and all other measures in the forefront of the decision making. But you didn't do that with Campbell, and you didn't do that with Mayer. So either you think Roman Anthony is a future Hall of Famer and Mayer and Campbell aren't, or your quote, which on its face is fine, only applies to one of three main prospects you brought up this year. And not only did you start the season with Campbell, you have ferreted him around wherever you feel like dropping him, and he's not a plus defender anywhere. So, in other words, you're putting extreme stress on a player that's not good defensively, and it's affected his offense. So, it's just like anything else, and you highlighted it, Terry. The leadership of this team lies. They apply what could be sound logic to one guy, but not the balance of the roster. It makes no sense.
For me, my issue is that this would have been a great opportunity for him to say, I have not done the best job in my role. All you have to do is say, I have not been that great this year. I have to own it and say, I have not gotten what I wanted so far, as opposed to placing the blame on the players. It's just, to me, you can only blame the Red Sox for so much. What was your contingency plan when Casas went out? You didn't have one. What's your backup if you lose Walker Buehler or Lucas Giolito for an extended period of time? You don't have one. What happens if Alex Bregman gets injured and he's out for a prolonged period of time? You have no contingency plan. You have nothing. Oh, yeah, Bregman is out and Devers isn't back at third. Where is your leadership, Craig? Where is you wearing the pants? Right now, the pants are in someone else's drawer, and you're just trying to figure out who's wearing them. That's kind of how it feels and kind of how it looks like. Like, you're just there. You're just a body, and it's frustrating beyond all recognition. Like, you have the brass show up to try to smooth things over. Great. For what? There's still issues. There are still problems. Roman Anthony is not here. The excuses as to why he's not here, I don't care. Bring him up. If he's not doing great for whatever reason, send him back down. Shut everyone up. Instead of seeing this kid raking AAA, just wasting time. There is absolutely no point. And if you're going to say, oh, well, he has X amount of strikeouts and this number of at-bats and the ratio is too high, who cares? You have players that are either injured, not performing. Just give them a shot. Give somebody else a day off. Are we going to wait for another injury? Like, Marcelo Meyer only came up because Bregman got injured. Otherwise, Meyer would still be a AAA. So who has to get injured now in order for Anthony to get called up? Because Eaton's coming. Who has to get injured? Devers? If Devers gets injured, you bring up Anthony, your season's completely toast, as opposed to probably toast. You know, this is the equivalent to trying to figure out who's calling this. Like, I don't know who's calling the shots. I really don't know how anyone can see this team being a playoff team right now, because there's so much stuff going wrong. I don't think anyone knows what the hell's going on. I don't even think the front office knows who's running the show.
Roman Anthony would be up right now if he signed an extension in spring training. And apparently he wasn't interested in a Christian Campbell type deal. And he's the number one prospect in all baseball. He's worth, it's hard to really know what he's worth. He could get a Jackson Chourio deal, which would be $90 million guaranteed with options. That's probably the low end, in my opinion. Or it could be upwards. He could get almost what Wander Franco got. It could be that, and that's the extreme other end, but it's probably somewhere in between. And right.
Who holds the cards, Terry?
The Red Sox do, obviously, because
currently, right?
He's not. Right. He's not up.
Years. Right.
But you can't tell me that Christian Campbell, it's better to have him on the big league roster right now, hitting like .157 over the last couple weeks, versus Roman Anthony, who's killing it. Like, So far, Myers had a couple of Ofer type games and scuffled a little bit. Yeah, it is. Right. But yeah. In terms of poise and body language, I like Meyer right now way better than I like Campbell. And I think Anthony could be the most emotionally equipped to come up and handle Boston and the circus act that is currently underway and has been underway basically all season.
Right. If Anthony does not sign that contract, you don't think he's coming up at all in 2025?
I was going to ask that question. I mean, are they punishing him? Is this punishment for not doing it?
So this is what happens then. Once Roman I'm sorry, Jeremy, really quickly, I'm just going to get this out. Once he's up, he's going to blow through renewable years. He'll go through arbitration. And when it comes to offering him a contract, Roman Anthony is just going to go, and that's it. You lost Roman Anthony. You're going to have to trade him at the end of his arbitration years. He will not sign a long-term deal because he wants to know how much he can get. He feels he should be getting a Jackson Chourio or a Wander Franco type deal. Are the Red Sox like, here's the thing. If the Red Sox don't want to do it, who holds the cards right now? I mean, for the first couple of years, yeah, the Red Sox do. But after that, it is all Anthony for the rest of his career. So, yeah, Jeremy, sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
To be honest with you, I was listening to what you were saying, and I forgot the question Terry posed.
Is he being punished?
I think that they're holding the contract over him, and I wouldn't be surprised that they're talking money, and if they come to an agreement, he'll be called up. I don't rule that out. That's the way this organization is. It's an asset for John Henry's portfolio, and what's best is getting Roman Anthony on a team-friendly deal, and if they do, they'll call him up, and if not, they'll continue to use it as a lever to say, well, we're going to extend you. You know, we don't even have to say it. You know the effect of not being with the big league club is, which is your fully free agent years are just being extended down the line towards your 30th birthday. So look, he's super young. He's 21 and he's ready to be a pro. He's going to make a ton of money regardless of what they do. But the thing that's happened here is even if they want to hold that lever in place as long as possible, the dam's got to break. Because their performance at the big league club has been obviously not great. The roster's not well constructed right now with the injuries. And if you want to continue to project like you're trying to fight to get back into this thing, it's the only thing you can do that's left outside of going outside the organization and adding talent from another team, which they don't show a willingness to do even at the deadline. Like they may bring in some scrap heap guy that just got DFA'd or, you know, we'll take your trash for our trash type deal, but they're not going to go be aggressive early in the market they're just not going to do it. So there's nothing left here. And so and that's why I mean, the dam's going to break. We got to do something. We got this guy in AAA that's going to be the AAA MVP, you know, whether it's by injury or whatever else, circumstance, complete lack of performance. He's going to be up and it's going to be soon. I just don't think they can hold off that much farther. And by the way, bringing up, and I don't even know the guy's name, is absolutely absurd. It's absolutely absurd. It's ridiculous. I can't believe that. And maybe it's because it's the weekend. I don't know. But I can't believe that's not getting more vitriol from the fan base. And so what they bring up Toro, who's really, you know, no long-term future, and he's been actually pretty consistent. And so maybe they can think they can hit strike lightning in a bottle more than once here. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm going right back to complete negativity, and I don't want to do that.
It's Nate Eaton. I didn't know his name either. So here's his career stats. So he's played 2 years with the Royals, 22 and 23. So he missed all of last year, presumably because he sucked. Maybe he was hurt. I don't know. I'm just going to assume he sucked. And hitting 201 with a 266. How many career home runs has this guy hit?
One.
Exactly. Zero. Exactly. In 72 games, he's hit one home run. He had an OPS plus in 2023 of -43. I didn't even know that was possible. Only 53 at bats, but the dude's trash.
Well, four hits.
That's the guy Craig Breslow wants over Roman Anthony. That's just insane.
Again, not wearing the pants, doesn't know who's wearing them. That's what it looks like, because this decision makes no sense. No disrespect to Toro. I mean, Toro's done a serviceable job so far in Boston. A couple home runs, more than I thought he'd hit so far. A couple extra runs knocked in. Decent defense, not the best. But this one? Sorry. I can't make an excuse for it. I can't fathom what's going through their brain.
You know, and just one last time, the opening of Breslow's statement, we need to be mindful of the environment that Roman would be coming into. If I was a beat writer, I would have been like, what's the environment, Craig? I mean, what kind of environment is going on there? And I can't imagine that Alex Cora is like pleased with getting Toro instead of initially Meyer and getting, you know, Eaton instead of Anthony. It's just, if I'm Alex Cora, I'm sick of losing and I'm sick of this front office not giving me what I need. And it's just happening all over again. And I mean, sometimes I'm further down on Cora than I am Breslow, but for much of the past week, I've been further down on Breslow. It's just, I don't know. Well, I had this team going to the World Series. Who's the dummy?
I mean, I had them going to the World Series. I thought this team, I mean, again, assuming no major injuries, we're able to maybe stock up and perhaps get some extra pieces during the course of the season. I felt that there's a really good chance. And now, I mean, there's rumors and speculations about teams possibly inquiring about Aroldis Chapman in a month, not even, you know, like that sucks. If that happens and we lose Chapman, it's going to be brutal. But let's move into the pitching matchup that we have for tomorrow against Los Angeles. We've got Richard Fitz against Tyler Anderson. Fitz in his last appearance, only three innings, just stretching him out against Tyler Anderson, who has actually not too bad. Six innings, one earned run on five hits, three strikeouts against the Yankees. That's not a bad team, but odd in his appearance before that. Five runs in 4 2/3, six strikeouts against the Athletics. I don't even think we can call them the Oakland Athletics. I think it's just Athletics now. What do you guys think? Do you think Fitz can do it game one?
No.
I'm not worried about Fitz and the limited availability that he's going to have. I would think max 75 pitches, which should be good for if he's efficient, four innings.
Yeah.
But then we go back to what we were discussing earlier, which is thank God Crochet pitched the seven today. And so you didn't really need that much of the bullpen, but who's available to cover the last five innings? I wouldn't be surprised to have Fitz leave this game up and the Sox lose.
Terry.
They're going to probably have to make a roster move to get a bulk guy in there. I don't see Chapman's not going to be available theoretically because they don't like using him 2 days in a row. You'll have Whitlock available for one good inning and one trash inning. I mean, and the crazy thing is, you know, we're basically trying to map this out, assuming the Red Sox are only going to put up two or three runs, and that's what you're going to have to protect the whole game. So, I mean, we just need to hit. And we're going to lose the game, though. That's my pick.
Jeremy, you still think we're going to lose?
Yeah. I mean, they're still not doing things. They're still not playing clean defense. Some stuff's being masked because we're winning the game, but there's still too many of the same mistakes. If it wasn't for Sorry's swing in the first, we would have lost that game 1-0. Consistency. They're relying on way too many bats that aren't consistent production. We don't know who's going to hit cleanup. Probably Navarez. I love the player, but, you know, I mean, it just... The Angels are a little bit better than they've been in the past. You know, or at least they're playing competitive.
And without Otani. Yeah.
Without Otani.
Right.
I don't know, man. I just it's more about the Red Sox than it is about the opponent at this point. If they're not going to play consistent defense and find runs in three or so innings, they're not going to win the game.
So in seven of the last games for the Angels, they've actually lost. So that's one thing.
And they've lost seven in a row.
They've lost seven of eight. They lost five in a row. They won one against Cleveland, and they lost two more. They have the same syndrome as the Red Sox. They can't score more than two runs in a game. So in two of those last nine games, did they score more than three runs? They lost all games where they scored less than four. They won 4-1. They lost 7-5, and everything else was two or less. Before that, though, they won eight in a row, including a sweep of the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Athletics. So,
okay,
big surprise there. So I think probably we're going to lose two. This is probably where they're going to flip it around. Until the Red Sox can consistently win, I'm not going to say one series is enough. So I think I'm with you guys. I think it's going to be another L.
I mean, they better if they're going to find their footing, they better do it against this team, because
agreed,
in comes the Yankees, and things are going to snowball if you don't win this Angels series.
Agreed. Cool. Terry, anything else?
Nothing.
That is going to do it for your Bastards episode. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in one-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.